You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
At 6 minutes past 11, it is the Literature Corner. This moment has been coming for quite a while. I would say possibly a year, if not slightly less, where our colleague at In Cape Talk, Sarah Jane King, her show comes on after mine during the week, and we've had moments where we have spoken about the fact that she's busy with her book. I've seen her the last few moments quite stressed out about the book. I've heard her take time off to focus on the book, and eventually it was released a number of months ago. It is titled Killing Caroline: What Happens When the Baby They Buried Comes Back. And Sarah Jane King is with me in studio. I'm not going to speak to her as yet, because where I am going to start, and it's not going to be her reading, maybe we'll find a part that she reads, but I want to start off by reading a certain sections of the book. This is what she writes. This wasn't the letter I'd been expecting. She actually seemed surprised that I had contacted her. Not just surprised, but angry, resentful even. I'm also confused. It had been Chris herself who had provided her parents' contact details if I'd ever wanted to get in touch. And now, here she was, angry that I had done just that. She's shocked, but I am too. I had been wrong. She had not, it appears, been expecting me. And the answers I so desperately sought were nowhere to be found. In fact, the letter brought with it even more questions. The letter also forces me to admit something that has been lingering silently at the back of my mind. The idea that this woman has been waiting for me to forgive her. She clearly has not. Her parents, those she hurt in South Africa, they are deserving of an apology. To them, she's repentant. But me, I must accept, simply accept, and move on and disappear again. Sarah Jane King, how are you?
Good. Never had it. I've never. Nobody's read the book to me. Whenever people ask for bits of the book to be read, it's that they're asking me to read. And obviously, I've written it, so I know what's in there. But to hear it in another voice is it's quite tough. And you said no tears, so, yeah. So I'm trying to abide by that rule.
If you haven't read the book, and you should read the book. You know, you would think you know people, and we've been colleagues for a bit. I've got a sense of you. I think we've got a nice vibe going. But we all have a story. Mm. And your story, which is what you write about, is quite incredible. I mean, people listening to you, the accent, raised in the UK, but you are a South African. Mm. And how you ended up in the UK and back to South Africa is a story on its own. How do you best tell it?
I best tell it in that I have two versions, and always I've had the short version and the long version. It just so happens that now the long version's turned itself into a book. But but the short version is kind of an amalgamation of what I was told and what I have picked up along the way and what I now know as I sit here before you now. So the abridged version for the purposes of this is that my biological mother, who is a British woman, met a South African guy, a white South African guy, when they were both studying in England. They came to South Africa. He returned and she came with him, and they moved to Joburg and lived and worked in Joburg at the Balalaika Hotel, which is many, many people will know the infamy of the Balalaika Hotel goes down in the annals of history, I think. And while she was there working as the head housekeeper, she met my biological father, who was a black guy who was working as a head chef at the time, and began a relationship with him. And it just so happened that she fell pregnant, wasn't sure whose child she was carrying, later went on to marry her white boyfriend, and on the 1st of August 1980 gave birth to me, and called me Caroline, hence the title Killing Caroline. And it wasn't until, well, it wasn't immediately apparent that I wasn't her white husband's child, and then it only, I'm told, a matter of days or weeks, it became apparent that I wasn't, and a plan had to be concocted to get rid of this baby?
As a father, I found that truth to be hard in understanding your story. The plan that you speak of is essentially was to take the baby under the pretense of the baby being sick, go to the UK, give up the baby for adoption, come back to South Africa and claim that the baby had died. How do you... I'm amazed at how you are able to be as clear as you are in the book. And each time that I read certain parts of it, of how you discovered the story, how you then started reaching out, the responses to you reaching out, was this healing for yourself as well? Because to find out that truth about yourself, it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, and it was the cause of so much. And it's only in writing the book, really, and that I realized quite how much my past had come to define me and the person that I had grown to be. To answer your question, was it a healing process? The process of writing the book was almost like being re-traumatized. There were things in there that I thought I had dealt with that I hadn't even touched upon. But I realized that once I started writing, I had to push through. There was no watered-down version of Killing Caroline that was going to come onto the shelves. It had to be everything that was coming out of me. And so the process of writing, I guess in retrospect, I can look back and say, yes, it was healing. It was traumatic. I mean, I tell the story, you know, I'd write a chapter and go to my therapist and cry on the floor for an hour and just be, I mean, really, it was hectic. But I knew that I had to keep pushing through. And it's only really now, in hearing people's responses to the book, that's where I'm able to find my healing. But the actual process of writing, you know, people say, did you enjoy writing it? No, I didn't. I didn't enjoy writing it. But by the time I'd started, it was something I had to kind of give birth to my own thing. It was the toughest thing I've ever done.
Sarah Jane King with us in studio. The book is called Killing Caroline, What Happens When the Baby They Buried Comes Back. Have you read the book? 021-446-0567 and 011-883-0702.
702 and Cape Talk. The Literature Corner.
Literature Corner, it is at 17 minutes past 11 in conversation with Sarah Jane King, author of the book Killing Caroline. It's her story, What Happens When the Baby They Buried Comes Back. I want to come and talk about your writing. There's the story, but then there is your writing. Wow. You know how they say to us, you speak so well. You write so well.
Thank you.
Denise is in Houghton. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Aubrey. I just
Gogezo.
Hi, Sarah.
It's the other guy, but it's fine. Yes.
Sorry, Kokezo. I just want to say I read the book. I was just at Exclusives and looking around just randomly, and I saw it and caught my eye immediately. And reading it just, of course, brought so many tears to my eyes because I could not imagine how you could have written about such a painful thing in your life. I mean, it is just absolutely so well written, as you said, Aubrey. And, you know, big ups to you. Really, really congratulations for getting to the end of this book. And also, I would love to say such a big thank you to your adoptive parents for raising you. It was just, you know, wonderful to see that people could give so much love. And as a mature mother, I just cannot even now get it around my head how this woman could give up a child like that. And just even when you tried to reach out to her, she wouldn't give you the time to do it, and it still makes me cry even now. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for getting the book and for your feedback on it. I really appreciate it.
The point that she mentions right at the end there, so, and people, go and read the book. Go and read the book. Your biological mother gave you up for adoption, claimed that you had died. In your 20s, you reach out to her. Effectively, she says, I'm not interested.
Mm. And let me just tell you about that experience also, because for a very long time, I didn't have any expectation. You know, a lot of times when we talk about adoptees and reunions, there is an idea that all adoptees want is to find their mummy or their daddy. For the majority of us, that is not what the situation is. What you have to understand is that when you grow up with no concept of your own identity or your past, it's very difficult to then form an identity for yourself. And so really what I was looking for from this woman was some answers. You know, and I write about this in the book. Where do I get my love of music from? Is it's the whole nature nurture argument. Whose eyes do I have? When I laugh and I snort when I laugh, does anyone else do that in my family? It was that. It was about the connection. It was about the identity. And it was also about understanding. It wasn't about, I found you and now I want something from you that you are not able to give in terms of a mother relationship. I have a mum. You know, hi, mom. I have a mom who's awesome. This woman is not my mother. She's a person who carried me for 9 months and then relinquished me. But she still holds keys to things that questions only she can ever answer.
The crazy part is that you are 30 something odd. look at me not mentioning.
Thank you very much. Thank
right?
you.
You reached out to her in her 20s. She hasn't said anything except, you know, I'm not interested. Please don't bother my parents. As we speak, she's in Cape Town, where we are, visiting your brother whom you are in contact with, right? But she's here.
Yeah,
she could be listening to this interview right now.
She could be listening to this interview right now. She could be, I could bump into her in the supermarket when I leave here. I say bump into her. I don't know what she looks like, so I wouldn't, you know, I don't know. That is something that I've always found very difficult to deal with, particularly in the context now of me living back in South Africa and she also being here at times, is that I never know, you know, that, you know, obviously I have a sort of public profile to a degree. It's not that hard to find out about Sarah Jane King. So I sometimes get the feeling that, should I be looking over my shoulder? I feel quite exposed. And people say, well, of course you feel exposed. You've just written a book. But when it's that one person. It's the person who delivered me, who fed me on her breast for 7 weeks. It's that person who I could bump shoulders with in Pick and Pay and have no idea.
And she would know and you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Your dad. The big question that I have, your biological father. The big question that I have, having read the book, is, you're not talking about finding him. You're not talking about... I had an expectation, I must say, of a chapter where suddenly you are wherever, Atteridgeville, Mamelodi, wherever he was from, we don't know. So where for that matter. And then you go and meet your biological father.
Yeah, I wish.
So context quickly, the book, they met at the Hotel Balalaika, strange enough, is down the road from my 702 studios.
Exactly.
Yeah? So what is his name?
Koketsu. Listen.
What?
In this book, I changed names of certain people because it's not about the names of people. It's about this. It was about the story. In that regard, and for a long time, people kept saying to me, "Why? Who are you trying to protect?" And I'd say, "It's not about protecting." Although, to an extent, you know, my half brother, this isn't his doing, and it's difficult for him. However, there has come to a point now where my need to find my biological father is so strong, it's overwhelming. I've tried every possible angle that I can think of, and so the name that I give him in the book. Isn't his name. His name is Daxon Makwala.
Okay. Who worked at the Hotel Balalaika over 30 years ago. I asked that question specifically because I have this... I'm like the happy ending type of person. I have this wish for you, having read your story and understand your story, and understood that your biological mother is not interested, right? that you would at least find your biological father or families? Because you also write about how you have siblings that side as well.
Yeah.
Right? You could have one of your siblings listening right now.
Yeah.
Right? And I look forward to that moment. I look forward to the day that you come to studio one day and I'm handing over a show to another and you say, you know what? I found my dad, or I found my other sister. And their experience or your experience of them embracing you is different from what you dealt with, because you also had to deal with, and you write about it in the book, the trouble and the difficulty in being accepted by your biological siblings on your mom's side, and the fact that you being mixed race also became an issue in you seeking to establish that relationship.
Yeah. You know what's also for me, as a black person of mixed race, particularly as a South African, to not know. You know, I have a piece of paper with some scribblings on about my father. I'm told that he is Sotho. I don't know that that's true. Imagine as a black person, Koketso, that you didn't know where you came from, or do you know what I mean? And there'll be people listening who will relate to this. If you didn't know that you were Zulu, if you didn't know that you were Xhosa, how would that impact your identity? And then to come back to South Africa as a black mixed race person and to not know. You know, and people so often, because of how I look, people often think that I'm coloured. And so people will speak to me in Afrikaans, and somebody said to me the other day, which I don't speak, as you and I both know, and people frequently say to me, why don't you speak Afrikaans? And I say, why would that be the language that I speak? I'm waiting to find out which language I need to teach my unborn children.
Denise mentioned your adoptive parents.
Hmm.
You've had a very interesting relationship with your mother.
Yeah.
But what are your memories growing up? Because you're like a mixed race girl growing up in the English countryside.
Literally. I'm basically aristocracy.
You were like the only black at the dinner table.
No basically. Joke. Only black kid at school for a very long time.
But what was it like growing up English countryside with all your chickens and cows?
Fabulous.
Yeah.
It was a lifestyle. I mean, it was all I knew. I thought everybody lived like that. I thought everybody had a pony and everybody fed the sheep in the morning. That's what I thought. I thought that, you know, everyone lived on a farm and everyone got to run around in the fields during the summer holidays and not have to come in until your mother rang the cowbell.
Hello.
Not too far from. That's what I thought life was. So in terms of my early childhood, I'm really lucky.
Back to your writing.
Mm.
You are incredible in terms of your detail. I mean, there are times where I would read and I think, how do you remember that? Because you're very specific. You talk about your teenage years. You talk about your university years and taking trips into London, and where you go as far as describing not even the weather, the way people are dressed, the smell, the... I mean, how do you do that?
You know, for me, the writing came, it was unexpected. That recollection of memory was unexpected. I would start with a very general memory and then things would come up and I'd think, God, yeah, remember that and remember that. And also you have to remember, for a long time I was doing quite a lot of drugs and alcohol. So the memory...
You're surprised that you remembered.
It's a miracle I can remember anything, to be honest with you. But also, you know, I'm one of those people that I think I'm an observer. I think that's why I do what I do. There were a lot of, but you have to remember, I mean, it's a 200 page book. There's a lot of other memories that I can't remember.
A quick one from Stephanie in Krugersdorp. Hi. Okay. Stephanie is gone, but wow. Okay. The book, Where is it available for those who still need to go and read it?
Everywhere. Exclusive Books, Bargain Books, CNA, Love Books in Melville and Josie, the Burr Book Lounge. It's everywhere.
Killing Caroline, Sarah Jane King, a memoir. What happens when the baby they buried comes back? Quickly, again, you want to find your dad.
Yeah,
your biological father, right?
Mm.
Name, again, actual name.
The name that I've been given is Daxon Jackson with a D, Makwala.
Daxon Makwala. All right. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
I'm assuming that there's going to be a continuation of this year's journey.
There is. Book number two is underway, but book number three, which is a kind of direct follow-on from this, which will probably answer your questions, some questions about father stuff, is also happening.
Available in all your bookstores, Killing Caroline, Sarah Jane King, a memoir, What Happens When the Baby They Buried Comes Back.